ton going on in the National Football League, as always, this time of year as camps begin to ramp up, including a major situation developing with a guy that's really important to the team. The Falcons will be playing in week two. And for that and more, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our buddy Frank Schwab. Make sure you check him out, all things NFL for Yahoo Sports, including a very good podcast in inside coverage. Frank, let's start here. Jordan Addison suspended for three games to start the season. The Falcons play the Vikings in week two. How big of a deal is it?
I mean, it helps. He's for as much attention as Justin Jefferson gets, and rightfully so, Jordan Addison is one of those like high end number two guys, like T. Higgins, Devontae Smith, whoever you want to list there. So it's a big deal. I mean, especially with a young quarterback who, you know, he's going to have some growing pains early. That's kind of part of the deal. So for him to be shorthanded early in the season, they don't have a great, you know, replacement really, you know, kind of a number three receiver to move up to the number two role. So I think it's a big deal for the Vikings offense. You know, it's only three games. They'll survive. I mean, they're a good football team. But, yeah, I mean, if you're any of those teams in the first 3 weeks, you're much happier that you're not seeing Jordan Addison in that offense at full strength.
Teddy Bridgewater is back in the NFL officially, back with the Bucs today here in the NFC South. Frank, any reason to be potentially concerned about Baker there, or you think this is just depth?
I don't think Baker's I think he's kind of established himself. He's very, very good. You know, we have to get used to him being kind of where he is. I mean, it's not the Baker Mayfield of a couple of years ago when he was kind of wandering around the league and it looked like he might be done and all this kind of stuff. He's played at a top 10 level for two straight years now. And I think that the Buccaneers are a really, really good football team. And he's a big reason why. I mean, look, he's gotten two straight offensive coordinators, head coaching jobs. He's kind of proven himself. He had the weird end in Cleveland and Carolina didn't work out and a little resurgence with the Rams, I guess. But I think he's found a home, and it just shows, look, quarterbacks develop on their own timelines sometimes. It's not always instant oatmeal where these guys are stars like Jaden Daniels first year. It sometimes takes guys just a little longer, and I think it did so with Baker, but I don't think there's really any questioning. He's a legitimate top 10 to 12 quarterback in the NFL now.
Funny story out of the league today. They banned Frank smelling salts from the sideline. I know you've been covering the league a long time. Is this anything, or is this just another effort to say, hey, you know, there's been a lot of crap going on in locker rooms and stuff for a long time. We just got to get it out of here.
Yeah, probably one of those things the NFL just never thought about. Like, it just was part of the deal. I mean, smelling salts have been around forever. I mean, I remember, I'm old enough to remember when that used to be like the cure for concussions, right? Like, I mean, guys would quote-unquote get their bell rung, and they come to the sideline and do some smelling salts and go back in the game. And at least we've moved on from that. Yeah, probably one of those things where it just was, you know, something that was part of the culture. Nobody ever really stopped to think about it. Somebody finally did think about it and said, this isn't really safe for anybody or good. And the NFL cited, you know, I think the FDA or whatever it was. And so that's gone. I don't think it's going to affect too much when it comes to the NFL. But yeah, just one of those funny things of like, I can't even tell you I knew before today that smelling salts were still a part of the NFL sideline culture. I can't remember really the last time I saw it or anything, but you know, I guess it's a big deal with George Kittle. He wanted it back at least in some way, but he's probably got other players who feel that way too. But yeah, I guess the NFL just kind of catching up to things that should have probably taken care of years ago.
Yeah, well, that tracks for Kittle's, you know, wrestling persona, high energy yeah, type of guy, so I get that. Frank, when it comes to the quarterback situation in Indy not looking great right now, what do you make of their decision to sort of give each guy, Richardson and Jones, a chance to earn it?
Yeah, I on one hand, I get it. If you're going to have a competition, you're going to have a competition, right? Like, I mean, you got to be both feet in if you're going to proclaim this is a real competition. But at the same time, if I'm the Colts, I want to give Anthony Richardson every single rep he can get. I don't know. I just view it as everybody kind of understands that the best case scenario here for the Indianapolis Colts is for Anthony Richardson to win the job, to be the quarterback that they thought he was when he was a fourth pick, and to kind of start turning his career around in a positive direction. And to me, splitting up the starts with the starters, you know, Daniel Jones gets one game, he gets the other. Splitting reps in practice, which I believe they're doing, I just wonder how much that sets Anthony Richardson back a little bit. The one thing he needs above everything else is reps. That was a whole knock on him coming out of Florida, is that he only started 13 college games. And you know, he missed a lot of time his rookie year. He missed some time last year for benching, basically. And I think some injuries, too. So you get to a point where Anthony Richardson just needs to play football. Daniel Jones starts week one, that's a pretty bad admission by the Colts that they screwed up that pick, I think. I'm not saying that Anthony Richardson couldn't bounce back from that and end up being a really good starter sometime down the line, but if he doesn't win the job here in August with this competition, I think it's bad news for the Colts, and I think that they're going to look back from day one to right now and think back to how they developed him, how they used him, and just wonder if they did the right thing by him. Maybe they should have sat him as a rookie and brought in a veteran. Maybe they should have not benched him last year. Maybe all the things that the decisions they have made, I don't think have really helped Anthony Richardson be at his best. And Anthony has a lot to do with it too. He hasn't played his best. If Anthony Richardson was playing better, then there wouldn't be these questions about who's starting what preseason game. He would just be the unquestioned starter and nobody would care who starts a preseason game. So there's part of that too. But if I'm the Colts, I would have just, yeah, I get why they had a competition, but at the end of the day, I think I would have admitted what everybody kind of knows in the back of their minds, that the best path to being a really, really good team, a contender, is for Anthony Richardson to become a star, and I don't know if they're doing right by that.
When you mentioned reps, it was announced here, at least for the first week, neither Kirk Cousins or Michael Penix will be seeing the field. Do you feel like you saw enough from Penix last season in three games that he should not see the field in the preseason?
I mean, that's how I would play it. I'm all about the Sean McVay model of the preseason. Let's just get it over with. Let's just let Sean McVay, for as long as he's been Rams coach, I still think this is the case. He never even played a second string quarterback in a preseason game. He does not believe in preseason football, and I'm with him. I think preseason football is mostly useless. And I think we saw that the COVID year, to be honest. I mean, with COVID season, I mean, teams are pretty good week one right away, right? And I think that for a guy like Penix, practicing every day, joint practices, all this kind of stuff, the off season, he got some playing time last year. I mean, what good is going out there and throwing six passes in the first preseason game going to do? Like, does that really get him to a next level as a quarterback? No, of course not. A lot more can go wrong than it can go right. And I'm not saying there's a ton of quarterback injuries in the preseason, but you would hate to have somebody land on Michael Penix's ankle and all of a sudden that's affecting him early in the year. You know, like, I just, the upside is so little and the downside is so great that I fully endorse what Sean McVay does in the preseason. And obviously a lot of other coaches have followed that, to just say, these games are absolutely positively meaningless to us and we're going to treat them as such.
All right. Who budges first, Jerry Jones or Micah Parsons?
It's very interesting. I had this kind of thought the other day, reading some of his quotes, and I think it's continued today. I think Jerry Jones is really enjoying this in a weird, sadistic kind of way, that he's such a businessman that I think he's really, really dug in on this negotiation and seeing who blinks first and this game of chicken. He just seems to be having this odd good time with all of the attention and all of the angst everybody else is having. And, you know, he said today, I can't guarantee he's going to be on the field week one because I don't decide that. It's on him. And they haven't talked to Micah Parsons as a trade request. They've not talked to his agent at all, I guess, is what was reported out there. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't think Jerry's going to give in. I think he's kind of dug in a little bit more than usual, where it just seemed, you know, with the CeeDee Lamb stuff, like, it was no surprise really when that happened right before the season. Zach Martin got done in mid-August. Dak Prescott got done at some point. I think there's a little more edge right now to Jerry on this one, that he just is saying, no, I'm not going to give in that easily. So I think maybe my answer to that is Micah gives in, but I don't think that ties really close to giving in either. The one thing the Cowboys have here is, and they've already, Jerry's pretty much already threatened it in one interview with USA Today, they have two franchise tags. Basically, okay, well, fine, you want to sit out. Well, we're going to control your contract until after the 2027 season, so enjoy. You can be in purgatory for 3 years if you want, but nothing's going to change. And so I think that way, Micah Parsons might have a little less leverage than he believes. And it's just going to be interesting. And I think the Cowboys usually get deals done. They're not trading him. I don't think that's happening or anything. I think there is a question, though, is Micah Parsons on the field week one? They play the first game Thursday night, so it's even a few less days to get this stuff done. For a long time, I thought there was a 98% chance Micah Parsons would be out there week one. After the last few days, I think it's maybe just a little bit better than 50-50 that he's there for the opener. It's becoming a real contentious thing between the two sides.
All right, before I let you go, Hard Knocks getting ramped back up. Are you still interested, and are you particularly interested in the Buffalo storyline?
I can't say I am. I think that it's fun to see Hard Knocks and kind of get this nostalgia about it, and you're happy to see football. But I think it's just very formulaic to me. There's always the rookie undrafted pick with the long hair who like plays the guitar, and then there's it just seems like that they find the same characters year after year after year, and it all looks the same. It's just different teams. And I don't think we get the kind of inside look I really, really like, would want. I thought Hard Knocks offseason was great. The Giants, I don't think, liked it because the quote came out about, you know, not wanting to lose Saquon Barkley, and then they did and all that kind of stuff. I thought that was very interesting. I think some of the in-season stuff has been interesting, but the training camp Hard Knocks, it just seems like I could turn one on from 2011 and see the same characters just in a different era and a different uniform. So I'm kind of out on it. If people love it, I get it. It's been a cool show for a long time, and they do, you know, I mean, the formula is good. They do a good job with that show. I get it. I'm just kind of over it because I've seen it, you know, every season by now. So I'll watch it just to see if there's anything I need to know, basically, for my job and writing about the Buffalo Bills. Maybe, who knows, I might be covering them in the Super Bowl this year. But no, I can't say I'm going to be like, you know, clearing a schedule to watch it live tonight.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, unfortunately, feel that sentiment. It's been going on. You think about it, it's been going on for a long time now, and you're right.
Not many shows have that kind of a run. I mean, 25 years. I think the first one was 2001 with the Ravens, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe 2002, Shannon Sharpe was on there. And so the fact that Shannon Sharpe was on there, not many shows are able to survive that long. So I give them a ton of credit. It's just one of those where it's like, all right, I could probably tell you how the first episode's going to go before I even watch it.
Yeah, there's only so many ways to cut a player, right? I mean, it's really right, what it comes down to. Frank, appreciate the time. As always, we'll be checking you out on Yahoo Sports. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely, I appreciate it.
All right, that is Frank Schwab there, Yahoo Sports. Make sure you check him out there. All right, when we get back, Braves and Brewers are underway. Not going great for the Braves. What else is new? We will talk some MLB. Our buddy Rowan Kavner, Fox Sports MLB, is going to stop by. What did he think of the Braves' decision to stand pat, and what should they do next season? We'll talk a little Braves baseball coming up to open up the 8 o'clock hour. It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. It's Chris Thomas tonight.